it's time for Kelly Can Help, hosted by Jeff Kelly, attorney at law with the law office of Jeffrey B. Kelly. And now, here's Jeff Kelly.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on the radio show today. I've got a special guest, Andres Mayor. He is an immigration attorney from New Jersey. I've known him for years. One of the great things about immigration is you can hire him if you'd like. So I'm going to let Andres tell us a little bit about his practice, and super great guy. Go ahead, Andres.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having us on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity. And yes, immigration is federal. We now have clients in 15 different states. So I'm headquartered in New Jersey, but as I was telling you before we come on the show, out of the three clients that hired me today, not a single one was in New Jersey. You know, our practice has really changed dramatically because of COVID. But look, I don't usually talk about myself, but a little bit about my backstory. I was born in Santiago, Chile. I know you and I have talked about that a number of times. You loved your time in Chile.
Favorite country.
It's a great place to be.
It is.
So I was born in Chile. My mother was from Chile. My father was from Argentina, but they met and married in Israel. So I lived twice in Chile, twice in Israel, twice in the US. I came to this country not speaking English. And then I moved to Israel as an adult, not speaking Hebrew. And then I left my family there and came back to keep my green card and stayed. So any part of an immigrant's journey, short of being in jail, that one has had, I've done it at least once.
Excellent. That is awesome. How many years have you been in practice?
So I've been in practice now 16 years. I've been working in the law for 20 years. When I was in law school, I was working full time at a law firm. I was trying to figure out what kind of law did I want to be. And you laugh, but I thought I was going to be in real estate.
Yeah,
real estate development is what interested me, and I thought I was going to be transactional. I'm like, I'm not going to go to court. I'm not going to fight for people. What? No, that's crazy. But the first law firm job I had, because I'm a fluent Spanish speaker, I was working with Spanish clients doing things that a law clerk normally does because no one else could speak to them, and they were getting screwed.
Yeah.
And the more I saw how they were being treated, just because they didn't speak the language and they didn't understand their rights, the more I got involved with the immigrant community and what their needs were. And I've done it all, whether it's wills, personal injury litigation, criminal litigation. I actually built my immigration practice on defending DUI clients. I went to court the first time for a traffic violation. My movers were bringing in my office furniture to my new office. I just opened up shop. And one of them had a girlfriend that had a traffic violation, didn't speak English. I'm like, how hard could it be? I mean, I'd never been in traffic court. So I pulled out the rule book. I looked at the statutes. I knew what I was doing because I spent 2 days preparing. I show up to court. There's an individual there, doesn't speak a word of English. There was no translator. Judge was getting frustrated. I said, Your Honor, I'm happy to translate. I walked out of that courtroom with three clients, and every single time that judge saw me, he said, you know, so it, about in 2012, I don't know if your listeners remember, there was minors that were trapped in Chile.
Yeah.
So the judge would see me and say, we have our very own a Chilean citizen attorney here. And he would talk about me for 10 minutes and I would walk out with more clients. Judge Amadou, he was awesome.
Yeah. How about that? You know, there's a great movie on that, by the way.
There is.
Yeah.
100%. And he would always say, and listen, they were successful because of the Pennsylvania miners from the US that went and helped them. So wow. He would tell that story every time.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. But as I got busier there, my clients were asking me, well, how does this affect me on immigration?
Yeah.
So we started going into immigration consequences. And then it was, well, rather than just the consequences, how about helping you avoid those things in the outset? And today, although as a firm, we still do criminal defense, 75% of what we do is immigration. The criminal defense is actually by a partner of mine. I don't do it anymore. I get to focus on what I love, which is helping people come to the U.S. legally, if they're not here legally, to stay legally if they can. And for me, it's the most rewarding thing I could do. When you give someone a green card, their life changes. They can get, instead of having three jobs, they can have one. They can spend more time with their family. They can travel to maybe see their parents that they haven't seen for 30 years or 15 years or for a long period of time. Maybe introduce their kids to their grandparents who they've not been able to see before. Wow. You know, helping somebody beat a DUI does not change their life. Helping them get justice and economic results from an accident or an injury, it could be life-changing, but for the most part, it isn't. But getting somebody help to stay in the United States legally, to get their citizenship so that they can vote, that changes their life.
Wow. Good stuff. So where'd you go to law school? Where'd you do your undergrad?
So I did my undergrad. Well, I started at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Yeah. Then I studied at Tel Aviv University. Then I came back and finished in Rutgers. And I went to law school in Brooklyn Law School because I wanted to be a New York attorney. I turned down Tulane. I turned down a full ride from Tulane.
Wow.
Because I was just convinced I had to be a New York City attorney. And within a year of graduation, I was gone. I could not wait to leave New York.
How about that?
I'm sorry, those New Yorkers. If you love it, that's great. It's a great place to visit. There's a lot of great things. But I missed my suburbia. I just did not like it.
Yeah, I understand. I went to college in New York City, so I know.
Oh, where'd you go? I know you told me, but...
Yeah, I went to Columbia.
Wife went there. She got her master's from Columbia.
Wonderful.
So my life partner and business partner is my wife. We met in law school. And we have two beautiful kids. And she still tells people the biggest mistake she ever did was go to law school.
That's funny.
I didn't think it was so funny. But that's how we met. She's like, I know. Wow. So we worked together at home, and then we raised two wonderful kids when we're not at work.
That's awesome. Now, did you tell me once she's from South Carolina? Is that right?
She is. She was born in Scranton, in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and then moved to South Carolina when she was 8.
How about that? So when did you know you wanted to be an attorney?
I always knew. I always wanted to help people. Night court when I was a kid, I found fascinating. I don't know why. And then later I actually went to night court and it was terrible because I didn't want to be there at 6 and 7, 8 o'clock. And also then have to go to court in the morning at 7 a.m. So I didn't like night court so much, but growing up, it was either law school or business school.
Yeah.
And when I started Rutgers, I was in a 5-year program, which was a joint master's in business and an undergraduate in business. But then when my parents split up and my father moved to Israel, it's a happy ending. We moved back to Israel. My parents are still happily, well, they're still married today. Happily is a different matter, but they're still together. So I left that program. I left a full scholarship. So that my family could be together.
Yeah.
And when I came back, see, I was only a green card holder. So I had to come back every 11 months or 29 days or risk losing my status. And I grew up here. I didn't want to, I came here when I was 6. I was then 21, 22. I did not want to lose. I didn't know whether I'd be in Israel forever or not, but I certainly didn't want to lose the opportunity to come back to the U.S.
Sure.
And when I came back after 2 years, this was now my second trip, I decided to stay because the schools that the programs I got into. So Israel's a very different, it's more of a European model. You apply to a department, not to a school. And they made me redo certain examinations in Hebrew, which I didn't speak at the time. So I had to learn. You know, they wanted me to start from scratch. I would have had 2 years for an associate, 3 years of military service, 2 more years for my undergraduate. So that's 7 years total.
Wow.
And when I came back to the States and I was explaining this to my mom's friend, so he's Israeli, she had a friend at the embassy. She's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Didn't you ever think that you could just finish your 2 years here? You can get permission from the military to do that. It didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
So when she put me in touch with her friend who was at the Israeli embassy, I went, I had a conversation with them. They gave me permission to come back to school. And I did. And I came here literally $300 and a duffel bag full of clothes. And I said, it's crazy to go back and spend 7 years when I could be here for two.
Sure. Sure.
So I came here. I went for two. I called my parents and I said, I'm going to be here for a little bit longer. Mom, dad, and said, oh, sure. How much longer? I said, a couple of years. All you heard was silence. They were like, are you on drugs? What's wrong with you? But yeah.
So you speak English, Spanish, and Hebrew.
That's correct.
Excellent. That's awesome. So you mentioned that, you know, 75% of your clients are related to the immigration practice.
Yeah.
What is the typical situation that your immigration client is in? Why do they need your services? So how do you meet their needs?
I'm glad that you asked that. Now that we're, again, nationwide and we have clients in over 15 states, we are seeing a variety of different types of cases from a variety of different communities. So historically, the majority of our clients were Spanish speaking. Now we have a lot of Caribbean clients, Cubans, Eastern Europe, not so much Asians, although there is a community there and we have a couple of clients, but the majority are really, the change has been Caribbean. And so that's where they're from. Obviously they're here and they want to stay here and they come from different experiences, but we put them through the same process. I call it the 953 process. So I wrote a book, Do You Qualify for U.S. Legal Status? The second edition is about to come out now. And in it, we talk about the 9 principal paths to legal status. So every consult has 3 fundamental questions. So Jeff, do you 1, have a path for legal status? If you do, and there are 9 principal ones, if you do, is there anything in your past, is question number 2, that might disqualify you? It could be criminal conduct. It could be multiple entries. It could be prior allegations of fraud, whatever. There are 5 different major categories that could disqualify you from achieving legal status. So question number 1 is, do you have a path? If you don't, stop there. If you do have a path, well, let's look at your past, anything that might disqualify you or prevent you from achieving your goal. And if you have one of those 5, then it's question number 3, can we fix it? So it might be a waiver. It might be an order of removal we have to reopen. It might be a criminal conviction that we have to overturn or challenge. And often now we're partnering with criminal defense attorneys in other states. So earlier today, I was speaking to a criminal defense attorney in Minnesota. He's representing a client of mine for a DUI. My client wants to get citizenship, and this attorney looks like he wanted to plead him guilty. And I had to explain to him, well, yeah, you could do that, but he might be placed in removal proceedings because it's not his first criminal conviction. And he wants to become a U.S. citizen. If he's convicted, that's not happening. So right. Instead, they're not going to trial because the assessment was, well, if you're going to go to trial, are you better off in front of a criminal judge or are you better off in front of an immigration judge? Well, there are more rights and options today in a criminal setting than there is in an immigration setting.
Wow.
I, as an immigration attorney, have a lot less control. I'm stuck with the conviction. But if I'm a criminal defense attorney and I don't like the conviction, maybe I can appeal it. Maybe there are mistakes that can be found. But if I just go and plead guilty, my ability to change that outcome is very limited. So in the initial consultation, we call it a green card planning session, there are 9 principal ways to achieve a green card. And we look at, do you qualify one of those nine? And if so, is there something that disqualifies you? And if so, can we fix it? If you have nothing that disqualifies you, fantastic. Then we focus on achieving your goals.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you've mentioned here, you've got a national practice. You mm-hmm. speak three different languages. You've been down every friggin' path that anybody on the immigration process could go. You've been down that path.
That is true.
Anything else do you think that separates you from other immigration attorneys? What's your greatest strength?
So we believe that an informed client is the best client. I've given at least 100 immigration seminars where I go to churches, nonprofits, organizations, pretty much everyone that will have me. And I will go and speak to their audience. And it's usually a version of the, do you qualify? So I speak about the nine different paths. And then I answer questions. We have a YouTube channel with a strong support where we talk. We have a live show every single week where we talk about what's going on in immigration. I had a radio show for 3 years under Hispanic Christian radio. But so 2 years into it, we started streaming it live on Facebook. And we realized that our audience and our comments and our most loyal followers were all on Facebook, not so much on that radio station that, again, at the time we were New Jersey specific and most of their audience were outside of New Jersey. You know, now today, given where we are, maybe it makes sense to go back to that radio station, but we moved on to a Facebook Live, which we've now been doing for over 2 years. And those videos then get presented on YouTube.
Wow.
So we have books that we've written. I've written three. The Do You Qualify for U.S. Immigration Legal Status that I spoke about. How to Defend Your DUI Case. The How to Defend a Criminal Case in New Jersey. But again, all of those are in English and Spanish, and they're from the perspective of if you're an immigrant, well, a conviction to something. So I'll give you a perfect example. Shoplifting. Let's say I go to Walmart and I accidentally take something that's $5. Maybe not accidentally. Maybe I did it intentionally and I'm caught. So, you know, in New Jersey, that's a non-indictable offense, otherwise known as a misdemeanor. Yeah. You go, you pay a small fine, it goes away. But that's a crime of moral turpitude. And for immigration purposes, that has an outsized effect, which you wouldn't think. If you're new to the country, you're accused of a crime and someone tells you, you pay $100, you don't go to jail, it all goes away, you'll pay the $100. And client after client has done that. And we've then gone and reopened it 5, 10, 15 years later. Now, more than 5 years, it's difficult to do anywhere. We've done it on occasion. You know, I can't remember the question you asked me. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. I was asking you, what is your greatest strength that just separates you?
It's we believe in educating the client. That's why we wrote the book. That's why we have the weekly live show. That's why I take the time. I mean, I can't tell how many clients have told me. I said, you know, I spoke to three other attorneys before. They usually tell me they can't help me or they don't have time for me. I'm done after 10 minutes. Yeah. No one ever sits there and explains to me what I qualify for, why I do or don't qualify, what can disqualify me, and how to fix it. That 1, 2, 3 step is simple but powerful, and no one does it.
Yeah.
To me, it's how I would want to be treated. I can't imagine doing anything different. Don't let others know, please. don't let out the secret.
So what if my clients want your books? How much do they cost? Where are they going?
So they can find it on Amazon at $29.95. They could find it at our website. It's Andres Mejia Law. I don't know if you can read it, but it's my first name, last name, and law. We'll share all the information. And anybody that wants it, I'm happy to send it at no cost.
Wow.
You go to my website, you can request it, you contact me, you call us, you want our book, you just say, hey, I saw you at Jeff Kelly's program. I will send it to you at no cost.
Okay. Now, you know, you just mentioned that you don't want to have somebody plead guilty to some small ridiculous crime, mess up their immigration status. Yeah. Are there any other pitfalls? I mean, do you ever have any other times where you a client comes in to meet with you and you say to them, gosh, I really wish you had not done fill in the blank before you came in.
I'm going to tell you a story. Client married to a U.S. citizen, has two U.S. citizen children, been in the U.S. for 20 years. Wife can file for him. Does it without an attorney. Goes to the interview. The marriage is legitimate. There's no sham. The officer says, you know, I'm inclined to approve your case. I believe that this is a legitimate marriage. You entered here legally. You have two kids. I just have one question for you. Oh, what is it, officer? It sees here that you were arrested in 2004 for possessing documents and the charges were dismissed, correct? Yes, they were. Can you tell me what happened? Oh, sure. And this is not my client, but this is the person that came to ask us for advice, says, well, when in 2004, I bought documents from a Puerto Rican man and I used those documents. I said I was Jeff Kelly because Jeff Kelly is Puerto Rican, right? So he went to the DMV. He submitted documents saying he was Jeff Kelly in order to register a vehicle and to get a driver's license. I was arrested and the charges were ultimately dismissed. Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate your honesty. Can you just write that down? So they typed up an affidavit. Is this true? Yes. He signed it. He said, thank you very much. I appreciate your honesty. Now I'm going to put you into removal proceedings. And I'm sorry to say, I'm going to deny your case and you're going to be deported. He just admitted to a false claim to U.S. citizenship.
Yeah.
All he had to say was, and if he had an attorney there, this is what would have happened. Officer, the charges were dismissed. Yeah, but I'd like to know, officer, the charges were dismissed. Period. End of story. My client is not going to talk about it. He's not going to make any. He made factual admissions that would have allowed a judge to say, you're guilty. Because of that, immigration can say, well, it's as if you were guilty. So the fact that it was dismissed is irrelevant because you admitted to doing the crime.
Yeah.
And I've seen different versions of that, but none more egregious as that. That was, you know, a simple consultation would have solved that.
Yeah.
Again, for every one of our clients, we have the 953 process. We do full background search, FBI, motor vehicle. Well, motor vehicle sometimes a little harder depending on what state you're in, but we do a motor vehicle search and we order your documents from immigration. So before you have that interview, we don't have any surprises. So sometimes there's someone entered the country, was apprehended at the border. Maybe let's say he was from Guatemala and he said he's Mexican. So he could be sent back to Mexico to try again, because if he's sent back to Guatemala, it's via plane and it's maybe weeks until he gets back there and it's much more expensive.
Yeah.
So he was apprehended at the border. He was sent back. Then he came in and he wasn't apprehended. And now he has a legitimate path to legal status, but he committed fraud. He lied about it. Mm. And now in some circumstances, it can be waived. We can fix it, but you got to be honest about it. You got to come clean. So if you don't talk about it and you don't file for a waiver and you assume immigration is not going to know it because, well, I gave a different name. They have fingerprints. And so your attorney doesn't know what happened to you, but immigration does because you were fingerprinted. And they're going to have all that information and your attorney is not going to be prepared to help you. So when a client is not honest with their attorney, look, sometimes this is 20 years ago. Sometimes people forget. Yes, I was apprehended, but I didn't remember that I gave a wrong name. Or I was a kid. I was underage. Well, if you're underage, there's no consequences. But if you lie in an application today, well, today you're an adult and that's fraud. Unless they think it was an innocent misrepresentation. But again, but the more of these we have to explain, the harder the case becomes.
Yeah.
Not that we can't do it, but you're putting the barrier higher and higher.
Yeah, got it.
So be honest with your attorney, because everything you tell them is confidential.
Yeah.
And if they don't know, they can't help you prepare.
Yeah.
And not admitting things. So going, particularly now, in the past 4 years, anybody that goes to an interview with a U.S. immigration officer and does not have an attorney is asking for trouble.
Yeah.
I've had officers pull me aside and tell me, please tell your clients, do not come alone. They are looking for any procedural or substantive reason to deny. The laws, so this is a misunderstanding. People think, oh, Trump has changed the laws. No, he has changed the procedure considerably. He has not been able to change the laws because, well, neither of, even though he had control, to change the law, you need a bill to be approved by the House of Representatives, by the Senate, and signed by the president. And yeah. For whatever reason, he has not been able to do that. But he did change. So laws are enacted and then are enforced by agencies like USCIS and Customs and Border Patrol and ICE and DHS. Those rules have changed dramatically. But the biggest change is the mindset.
Yeah.
USCIS, that's United States Citizen Immigration Services, has gone from how can I help you achieve your goal, assuming you qualify, to how can I deny you your goal by any means possible. So the mentality has changed.
Wow. Do you think that's going to change now that we've got, you know, a new administration coming in January?
I do think it will, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
Trump didn't do it overnight. Biden won't be able to either. Now, look, if Congress comes together, if Democrats and Republicans actually start to solve our problems the way, you know, in a democracy should happen, if they start solving problems and there is some kind of reform, a lot of these things can be addressed. If it's going to be done from the agency alone, well, they have to submit proposed rules. There has to be a comment period. Then they have to submit final rules. And then there's an implementation date. So even if you know exactly what you're going to do on January 20th, you're talking 6 months or longer until you go through that process.
Yeah.
So it's good there. So Trump has, President Trump has changed over 400 regulations that affect immigration.
Wow.
By all agencies. It really was a concerted effort to change the rules. That does not change overnight.
Wow. Well, I want to give my quick testimony for Andres, and I want to thank you for coming on to the show, but I've known Andres for years, and I can tell all of my clients, look, if you want somebody who is razor sharp, razor smart, and has a fantastic organization that's got systems, good systems, and to get you a good result, this is the guy you need to hire. Or if you know anybody who needs immigration help, with their green card or anything related to immigration, you need to go to what's the website again?
So it's andresmejerlaw.com, AndresMejerlaw.com. We'll send you the information so you can put it on the show notes.
Excellent.
If you're willing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am. All right, Andres, thank you so much.
Because Kelly can help.
That's right. Have a good one.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Kelly Can Help with Jeff Kelly. Reach out to the law office of Jeffrey B. Kelly today by phone 706-295-0030 in Rome or visit kellycanhelp.com.